the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to rightly seat us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Everyone, Bonnie made a friend in class.
What a
She's already making friends.
No, she literally made a new friend. I want you to meet Forky.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
He's a spork.
Yes, yeah, I know. Forky is the most important toy to Bonnie right now. We all have to make sure nothing happens to him.
Woody, we have a situation.
I am not a toy. I was made for soup, salad, maybe chili, and then the trash.
Freedom!
Buzz, we've got to get Forky.
Affirmative.
Why am I alive? You're Bonnie's toy. You are going to help create happy memories that will last for the rest of her life.
Huh? What?
Oh, yeah.
There's a little bit of the trailer from Toy Story 4, familiar voices and familiar characters, and according to Pastor Ted Geese, really visually stunning, although he has some criticism of the message of this film. Maybe one of those you can really enjoy watching, but after you stop and reflect on how the plot ended up going, you do have a few concerns. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to review the movie Toy Story 4. Pastor Ted Geese joins us. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
This is perhaps the most uniformly positive review I think you've done with us here of any film recently. So for Toy Story 4, why such a glowing review?
It's kind of funny. My wife and I went and saw this movie, and I had a particular take on the way Woody's character, you know, goes in the film, like the way the character is developed and where the character ends up. And she thought that was a very negative approach to it. You know, in terms of that. So, I mean, we're going to probably, like, in order to talk about it like normal, we'll have to spoil some things. But she thought my take on Woody was kind of negative, which is, it's just kind of funny. I try not to, in writing these reviews, I want people to really think about what they were watching. So, you know, I want to present things in a way that will engage people to think and not just shut down and go, I don't want to think about this or read the rest of this or whatever. So I didn't feel like I was writing a glowing review, but you know, I write lots of these, and there's a lot of really positive, interesting things going on in this film.
Okay, so bring us up to speed, because this is obviously, according to the title, number four. What do you want to say about the franchise and about the storyline leading up to this point?
Well, I don't have all of these movies committed to memory in every detail, but the first Toy Story came out in 1995, and that was a film that was the first full-length, you know, computer-animated, 3D-rendered cartoon, basically. And it was really well-received at the time. I ran across somebody on Facebook that said that watching that first film now, the animation looks almost creepy because so much has changed from 1995 to now for these movies. And Pixar is a company which started out as an independent company, is now purchased and kind of under the umbrella of Disney. They have just been honing their craft from film to film to film. So of the four Toy Story films, this one is the most well-rendered, just like a real technical achievement in terms of the animation. Some of it's like really kind of gobsmacking kind of stuff where you're looking at it and you're like, that is like, look at the glass and look at the way that glass is. There's a lot of stuff in an antique store, which gives you all sorts of material culture things to look at, like from different decades and time periods and stuff. And they do such a wonderful job with all of that stuff. It's quite amazing. And in fact, even like going back to 1995 and looking at the dog, there's a dog at one point in the movie, and then looking at the cat in the this current movie in the antique store, and it's like night and day. Like the what they've done is kind of amazing. So the story generally is, okay, so kids play with their toys, but what happens if when the kid leaves the room and there's no adults around and nobody's around, what if the toys just came to life and had these lives of their own and their own existential thoughts and their own kind of feelings and emotions and, you know, stuff, right? And all through all of the films, they've developed and they've considered and they've looked at this kind of vocational relationship between the child and the toy, but really working from the toy's vantage point. So what does it mean to be the toy to a child? And like, even at one point, you know, like questions might come up as to like, what does it mean to be like, to have an owner, somebody who owns you, like is kind of part of it, or somebody you belong to. So these things kind of come up along the way. You get the character of Andy, who's the first child that has these little toys. So Woody, played by Tom Hanks, and Buzz Lightyear, played by Tim Allen. So the first film was kind of like a buddy story because they had to get to know each other, these two toys. The kid Andy eventually goes, like, is going to leave high school and go to college. So he kind of like is moving on, and he gifts his toys away to this new little kid, this little girl named Bonnie. And that was the end of Toy Story 3. So you have this transition from childhood to adulthood, and this sense of like putting away childhood and moving into the adult life. And this then picks up, Toy Story 4 picks up with the toys are all like part of Bonnie's life now. And what does that mean? And what's the difference between this and the way it was with Andy and her transition from being a little kid to going to kindergarten? And then there's more to it than that, but we'll talk about it.
So there are always a few new characters introduced at each stage in this franchise, but there's one here that's hardly a toy. It's just a spork. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is Forky, the spork, who's been given googly eyes and pipe cleaner arms and tongue depressor, a popsicle stick broken in two and made for feet. And I guess kind of like you could think of it sort of like Frosty the Snowman, right? Like the kids make Frosty the Snowman, they put the top hat on, and then he comes to life. And just like that little song, and there's cartoons and movies based on that as well. So the same sort of thing for Forky. Forky is made by Bonnie in her kindergarten orientation day because she kind of feels dejected. And Woody, who is stowed away in her knapsack, kind of like helps facilitate this by throwing some trash up onto the table with some craft supplies, and then she makes Forky out of the spork and these other little things. And then all of a sudden this spork comes to life, but still has some memory of what it means to be a spork and not a toy. So he considers himself to be trash, and he's constantly looking for somewhere to dispose of himself into. Like every garbage can, every trash can that he sees, he's running off to jump into that because he thinks he should be disposable. And Woody has to take him under his wing and say, listen, you're Bonnie's favorite toy right now, and this is what it means to be the favorite toy, because I was the favorite toy to Andy, and I have to help you. By helping you, I'm helping Bonnie. And then he also finds his own, some more purpose for himself in the midst of it. So there's some personal reason for doing it as well.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Toy Story 4. We'll talk about vocation in this film after the break. How are the solas of the Lutheran Reformation God's gift to all Christians? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. You can read an excerpt and purchase Grace, Faith, Scripture at IssuesETC.org. Be sure to request the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June. Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran.
If you're at all interested in the future of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you won't want to miss the June issue of The Lutheran Witness. This special issue of the magazine offers a wealth of information on the upcoming LCMS National Convention, including convention overtures, the national offering, and interviews with the three men nominated to serve as Synod President. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Nadia Bowles Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
The point of pure doctrine is simply to have more of what God wants to give. And the same thing with good works. To have corrupt doctrine or weak doctrine, or to abstain from good works, God forbid, is to have less of what God wants us to have.
Evolution is the creation story of modern man. So it explains in principle everything, although it doesn't really explain anything.
Nobody says to the abortion choice crowd, you're not pro-choice because you're not for all choices. You're not for school choice. You're not for tax cut choice. You're only for abortion choice.
The only explanation, and I say this as a Christian historian, it's a gale of satanic force, and it overwhelmed just about everybody.
In the next hour, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play those four soundbites in their entirety for you. You'll listen, then you will vote, and your vote will decide which will be soundbite of the week. You vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or voting at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We're reviewing the movie Toy Story 4. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He taught a course at Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, you say that vocation plays a major role in the plot of this animated feature. How so?
Well, this relationship that they've kind of developed where, you know, the toy and the kid, the toy is in service to the kid. Like, it's very important that the kid has a toy, and it's also very important for the toy to have a kid. And that comes up all over the place in this because they're on the road. The family goes off for a vacation in a camper, and they stop in a little town, the camp, and now they're in connection with, or they're, the toys start to, you know, get to know other toys in the area. So toys that are in the antique store that are waiting to be purchased or be taken home by some kid, and kind of these lost toys that are just, you know, in the sandbox at the campground, and they're all like really hoping that a kid's going to come play with them, and then maybe like the kid might take them home. So there's this notion of being a lost toy, being an abandoned toy, being a toy that's waiting to have a kid, or being a toy that does have a kid. And that's all underpinned by this kind of idea that you, like, it's kind of almost like employment, underemployment, unemployment kind of a thing, where the toy wants to be in this vocational relationship with the kid. And that is, the fingerprints of that are all over this film.
So you said earlier in our conversation that your wife thought you were a little rough on the Woody character. What did you have to say there that made her interpret it that way?
Well, I guess the main thing is that just like this film is just a technically superb example of computer animation as of today, it's also a very clever script. Like the script is very well written. So it really has entry points for multi-generational viewers. And the people who make the Toy Story movies know that you're going to have nostalgic millennials that grew up with this, that went to these movies and want to go to this. You're going to have grandparents with grandkids. You're going to have parents with kids. You're going to have kids. They're all going to be there. So the story, if you're going to make a really good movie, you want a movie that's going to engage every level of that. And one of the storylines is the idea that eventually by the, and this is a spoiler, but eventually at the end of the film, Woody kind of retires from being a toy. So he's not going to continue to be Bonnie's toy, even though Andy had given him to Bonnie to be a toy for Bonnie. He decides to go and be a lost toy with Bo Peep. So the film kind of opens with a scenario where Bo Peep is being given away, played by Annie Potts or voiced by Annie Potts, given away to the secondhand store. She ends up eventually in this antique store along the way. So he encounters her again because she's in this town that they stop at with Bonnie. And he's been given this decision, like, do you stay and be a toy, but maybe be like not the favorite toy, but a toy that belongs to Bonnie? Or do you go off and seek your own happiness with Bo Peep and retire from being an actual toy with a kid to being a lost toy? And that is where, like, some people would look and say, well, that character of Woody he's put in his time. Like, he's done lots of good work and now it's time for him to retire. And this would be a reward for long service, essentially. So then it would just be this retirement story that would resonate with older people or with people who, you know, are in long-term kind of vocations, right? But for me, when I was watching this, there was another element of it that I kind of found, you know, difficult. And this is where, you know, she thought I was being too hard on it, but maybe this is my own personal thing. And I don't want to be like a relativist here or anything, but I saw in the character of Woody and in the way that these Toy Story films had been made, that there was something kind of almost transcending the honest labor slash, you know, career even kind of style vocation that you might find with somebody who's like a millwright or a soldier or a police officer or a nurse or something like that, where it kind of transcends or is beyond that for these, what they've set up, where these toys are almost in kind of like a family style vocational relationship with the kids, that it's more than just that there's love involved in it. There's more than just the work aspect of it. And so then my mind starts going to things like motherhood and fatherhood and being a brother or a sister or a child, or even in the vocation of husband or wife, where, you know, the vows include things like till death do us part. So when you're thinking in that way, then the idea of Woody retiring from being a toy to seek his own happiness and to live life for himself, that kind of gets a little sticky. Do you see what I'm saying there?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. If you're going to press the point of vocation here, this is like, we're only doing this so that someday we don't have to do it anymore view.
Yeah.
Rather than vocation as being a real relationship, a lifelong commitment to a neighbor, an actual neighbor.
So this is where it kind of seems out of character for the character of Woody to me. Like, as a, you know, as a film goer who's watched all four of these and, you know, has kind of seen this develop over time. So, and that's where, you know, my feelings about that, she thought, was maybe a little bit too harsh. But, you know, that's just the way I took it as I was watching it, because I'm thinking about, I'm like, these films really invite you to think about it on a bigger, like they invite existential questions. They invite thinking about what does it mean to be alive and to be in service to others. Like it asks these questions and it wants you to think about them, even though it's a kid's movie. So in that way, it's, you know, there are some really positive, excellent things all the way through this. And in moments where you even have like Woody doing things that, like, as a Lutheran, when you're watching it and you're thinking about the catechism, you're like, wow, look at that. He's actually fulfilling, you know, the seventh commandment by helping Bonnie keep her property and possessions, because Forky keeps trying to run away and he keeps going to bring Forky back so that she doesn't lose Forky. So he's actually, you know, fulfilling the seventh commandment. And you even have like the villain character of Gabby Gabby, who like learns a lesson about like coveting and stealing and how that actually isn't worthwhile and good to be involved in. And she has a change of heart along the way. So there are parts of it that are going to really resonate with, and that's probably what you're talking about in terms of the glowing review. There are parts of this that are really going to resonate with the Lutheran that sits in the movie theater and watches this film, because if you're thinking catechetically when you're watching it, there's going to be a lot of stuff to really like and enjoy.
We're reviewing the movie Toy Story 4. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're going to spend a little bit more time talking with him about those production values. He says that it's just visually stunning. I actually went and watched the trailer, and look, my eyes are getting older, but it's very difficult for me to tell, especially in some of those scenes, the difference between real life and what is being portrayed in animated form. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran, a very simple and pastoral approach to the central truths of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. You can find it on any page of the website, or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing the movie Toy Story 4. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. A little bit later, we'll spend some time with Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, talking about millennials and student debt. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Ted, I got a couple of last questions for you. You mentioned before this the stunning production values of this animated feature, and I watched the trailer in as high def as I could see, and I can't tell the difference in some of those scenes between what they've animated and real life. Do you have any concerns there with the technology having reached this point of realism?
Well, I don't want CNN to be using this, you know, or Fox News or, you know, like, or CBC News in Canada or somewhere like that. These are tools, right? So tools in the wrong hands or used with nefarious purposes can be very dangerous. So, I mean, we're still at the point where there is this uncanny valley. Remember when we talked about Rogue One, the Star Wars story, you know, and Grand Moff Tarkin and that, and how it was, he was quite good in a lot of spots, but there was still just a little something that wasn't quite right. And then the, you know, the Carrie Fisher stand-in stuff was not that great for Princess Leia. But really, like, when they're able to get that nailed down, where you really can't fish it out by looking at it and go, oh, I think something's wrong there. That's like the last avenue of this. And it's very hard to do because they're still like really doing all their observational work to try to figure out how it all works, because there's so many muscles in the human face and there's micro movements of muscles that we know it because we look at people's faces all the time. So you might not even be able to put your finger on it, but you'll know when it's not quite right. But they are actively working really hard to get that stuff figured out in the same way that they've done, like you were talking about, like the asphalt road after the rain or whatever, and all of these little details, like the material, like more static kind of stuff. That stuff is they've got it worked out pretty good, and it's just further refinement. Like even Monsters, Inc. was one where they really spent a lot of time working on getting fur to look right. Of course, now they're building on that. So when you see like the cat in Toy Story 4, for instance, it looks way more naturalistic than anything you would have seen in Toy Story, the first one from 1995. So yeah, I mean, like, I do have some concerns, and the concerns are based in, you know, my anthropology of man as a Lutheran, right? Like that men are fallen. And that, you know, somebody somewhere is going to think, how can I use this? And their thoughts are not going to be good and pure, right? So I do have some worries about that. And it sounds like you do too.
Do you have any concerns about, there's just one scene of, and it's not that it's gross or bloody or anything like that, but there's a scene where a kind of mob of identical ventriloquist dummies are chasing people around. And look, that goes on a lot of people's fear scale with scary clowns, spiders, and speaking in public. Is that just going to be too intense for children to watch?
Well, you know, there are a couple moments in the film where I thought to myself, there are going to be some kids that are going to find that too much, or even just adults. I don't know that it's going to be impossible for people to view. It'll be okay. But the other interesting part with that is that because of the use of the antique store as part of a set piece, they're able to have a real variety of toys from different time periods that would also then relate back to the multi-generational viewers, right? So some people might not find those ventriloquist dummies that scary. But there's actually right now, I mean, we've talked about them before, but there's another one of those Annabelle films that are coming out with the possessed doll kind of thing going on in it. So it is still the sort of thing that still bothers some people. But this film, you know, includes those older style toys. Even like there's a couple Star Wars action figures that are thrown in at one point from the late 70s that get thrown into a scene full of these antique toys. But yeah, I could see that. I mean, like there are going to be some people that will find that to be kind of distressing, but they're on there quite a bit there. So it's not one where it's a singular jump scare. You're going to have to kind of deal with it along the way if you do find that scary.
Finally, then, do they leave a door open for a Toy Story 5?
I suppose so, but I didn't think that you needed to have a Toy Story 4. And what they've done is they've kind of, that idea of moving on for Andy, they've extended that to moving on for Woody. But I can't really think of if there may be a further, you know, thing you could do with it. But I think that really they should just stop at this point because they've really done a great job. What they could do is they, because they have all of the computer information from making Toy Story, the original Toy Story, they could go back and take all of that and render it with the new advanced computer animation that they have. So they could take that 1995 looking film and make it look like it's of the same cloth with this 2019 film. Like, that is something that they could do for like an anniversary year for this that I think people would be very interested in.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read Pastor Ted Geese's review of Toy Story 4 at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.